VW has now apologized for rigging its cars to cheat pollution tests in America, but where does that leave owners of these diesels? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The CEO of Volkswagen, Martin Winterkorn, has now ordered what he calls an outside independent investigation into the claim that many VWs and Audis with smaller diesel engines had illegal software installed that cheated U.S. emissions tests. The EPA says pollution from these cars is well above legal limits and the cars eventually will have to be fixed in some way. Costs of the recalls and fines could be crippling to VW, and its stock was down nearly 20% in Frankfurt this morning. Marketplace's Annie Baxter is following this for us. Hello, Annie.
Good morning.
So folks who own these cars may not be so happy, but are the cars actually unsafe?
Well, the Environmental Protection Agency is saying that the cars are actually still safe and legal to drive and resell, but it's unclear what the fix will be. I talked to Jamie Kittman. He's New York bureau chief for Automobile Magazine, and he envisions a couple different scenarios here for a recall. He says VW could maybe fix the cars so that they meet emissions in a way that would suck some of the life out of the engine. He suspects a costlier fix would keep the engines robust.
If they were able to add urea injection units, it's possible that they could restore most or all of their performance, but it's going to be phenomenally expensive.
But to be clear, Kittman says it would be unthinkable that consumers would have to bear the brunt of those costs.
Now, these car owners might still be left in the lurch in other ways.
Yeah, Kittman says the resale value of their cars is probably way down, and probably not too many people would want to buy the cars in their current state.
I mean, they're saying that they pollute 40 times more than they're allowed to. I mean, that's not just missing it by that much. That's missing it by, you know, several dozen country kilometers.
And this doesn't make diesel cars look so great right now. Kittman says he's hearing anecdotally of dealers pulling diesel cars off their showroom floors.
And indeed, Volkswagen is ordering their diesels off the market for the moment. Marketplace's Annie Baxter, thank you.
You're welcome.
In a few minutes, we'll get the reading on sales in August of used houses and apartments. Mark Lucchini is chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott.
Well, housing data has been pretty good overall, both new and existing home sales. I think expectations are that perhaps we'll see a little bit of a decline this month on a month-over-month basis. But you know, some of that, too, has to do with the fact that inventories are rather low. They've consistently been below 5 months. 6 months is considered to be equilibrium. So the fact is you may have a lot of potential buyers out there that simply can't find the property they'd like.
Meaning a 5 or 6 month supply of houses as developers try to catch up by building new condos and houses with the economy improving. Japan was synonymous with tech in the 70s and 80s at least, but you may be surprised to hear how behind Japan is when it comes to innovative startup companies these days. Less than a week since Japan's creditworthiness was downgraded and the government there pushes to boost the economy, a report today from Sally Herships on a piece of Japanese business culture that may need some work.
Silicon Valley appreciates a good failure. The Japanese, not so much.
People have the mentality of failure is not being an option, and if you fail, they will face social rejection.
Jeez, that is rough. Toshi Yamamoto is CEO and founder of Chatwork. It makes software. But founding companies is not super popular in Japan. Yamamoto says when he was starting Chatwork in college, he got called crazy all the time.
Why don't you go to the large corporation or why don't you work for the company?
Because that's what's traditional. But one country's cultural norms can seem strange to another. Heather Russell, an American, also founded a company in Japan.
The reason why we even exist is because Japanese sellers refuse to ship outside of Japan.
So Russell's company, Rinkia, does it for them, kind of like an eBay for Japan.
You don't understand it, right? You cannot comprehend why they wouldn't ship outside of Japan.
But Russell says for the Japanese, it makes perfect sense. They don't want any chance there will be a problem. And international shipping could mean just that. She says it comes from the Japanese preference for restraint and reserve. There's even a word for it.
It's called enryo. E-N-R-Y-O-U.
In Japan, even rebellious teenagers hanging out in Tokyo only smoke in designated areas. Jaywalking is not cool. You just want to fit in and avoid conflict. And that means not starting a company that could tank. Alan Bird teaches global business at Northeastern. He says what all this means is Japan is highly entrepreneurial, but in its own way.
Within the context of a group.
The Japanese like consensus, working in groups. So Japanese startups are more likely to occur within the safety of a big company. Sharp Electronics began by making mechanical pencils. Nissan was spun off from a mining company. All of this can create a catch-22. Remember, startup founders tend to need cash.
In part, there aren't more startups because there isn't more venture capital. And if you ask why isn't there more venture capital, it's because there aren't more startups.
There's also, pardon my pronunciation, Kotobo no Kabe, a language barrier, and another problem that translates in any language, money. Bird says starting a startup in Japan is four times as expensive as in the U.S. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And briefly, new peer-reviewed research from Japan. Chimpanzees turn out to be fascinated by a clip from a scary film showing chimps attacking a human. When they show the film clip again, the chimps remember where the weapons are hidden. Journal of Current Biology, research on primate memory. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.